In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst. The scripture reading, the gospel passage that we just heard, and the epistle passage are different this week from what we normally would hear because we commemorate the fathers, the men and bishops and deacons and priests and those who participated in the Fourth Ecumenical Council in 451. There were 630 of them. And we've heard about the councils many times in the history of the church. And we've heard about also what these gatherings were convened for, to express, to discuss, and teach, and preach, and establish yet again in the church, let alone in the world, the true faith that had been expressed, had been revealed first and foremost in the coming of the Messiah. It had been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years, thousands of years, and then ultimately in the birth, life, passion, crucifixion, and resurrection and ascension of our Lord, he handed the deposit of truth to the disciples, to the apostles who were sent forth to preach and teach the truth and make disciples of all nations. And then from them handed down generation after generation. And it wasn't too many years after the birth of the church and the truth that was brought to the world in Jesus Christ that there began to be heresies or heretical teachings or incorrect teachings about the truth. And so the necessity, even before the first one was convened, even before the whole of Scripture that we know it today was canonized or put together and given to the body of Christ, even before this, there was discussion, there was disagreement, there was misunderstanding, there was false teaching about the truth. And so these councils were convened, seven of them, over some 900 years, in order to correctly and rightly teach and express the truth that was and is in the Word of God, the Logos, Jesus Christ. And so that's why the church lifts up on different days during the year this feast day and the commemoration of the Holy Fathers to recall that, number one, which was attacking the truth at that time, and it's not so much different than this time, and to lift them up, not just the men who gathered together in these councils, but the witness and truth that was, or the truth that was witnessed in the martyrdom in particular of the saints, the men and the women and the children who witnessed the truth. So this is a commemoration today of the truth. The Lord was speaking to the people in the Sermon on the Mount when he said about this gospel passage from Matthew, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel." And this full passage and that leading up to it and that after it speaks about three central ideas. The disciples, and by extension all of us today, are the light of the world. That Christ did not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. And the idea of combining practice, praxis, and theoria, teaching or theology, he who does and teaches shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. The same concept that James spoke about when he said, faith without works is dead. That our works are a fruit of this faith and this belief, all based on the foundation of the truth. So the church chose this day because the fathers of the church, the 630 of this particular council, were indeed the light of the world in their teaching and in their teaching of the correct faith. And in this case, there was a heretical false teaching that Christ was not fully human, that he was divine, but his humanity dissolved at the time of his divinity, that the time that his divinity was necessary, that his humanity dissolved, almost like a cube of sugar does when it's in a hot liquid. It just dissolves. This was the teaching of Eutychius and Dioscoros and others who taught this heretical teaching. In scriptures, we know light refers to the knowing of truth, just as darkness indicates the ignorance of truth or not knowing the true God. And that is why in scripture we hear that after the baptism of the Lord Jesus and his beginning of his ministry, his evangelizing, if you will, his ministry of the gospel, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light, divine light, has dawned. Our Lord said the same thing about himself. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then he said to his disciples, as we heard, you are the light of the world. That is, you will reflect the light, the divine light that is in me, Jesus Christ, in your life and in your work and in your deeds and in your words and in your teaching. Everything about you in your life, you will reflect this light. In one of the prayers of Vespers, last night we chanted the Apolitikion of the Holy Fathers, and it says, you, O Christ, our God of exceeding praise, who did establish our holy fathers as luminous stars upon earth, and through them did guide us unto the true faith, O most merciful one, glory to you. These fathers who met and put together the faith that we hold so dear to us, or we should hold so dear to us this day. Now, over time, I have been in conversations with people, both non-Orthodox and Orthodox, who believe that the theology, the teaching of our church is stuck in the past, is not relevant for today, is not relevant for us in this community or in this world today. And it's an interesting question, certainly from the non-Orthodox, but it's a question that comes from our Orthodox faithful that concerns me the most. The very term that we use as a descriptive term for our faith, orthodoxia, orthodox, is true or right and correct worship or belief or teaching. We state the fact that the theology and the teaching of our church has not changed since those fathers met in the fourth century and even earlier, all the way back to Christ. The truth that he transmitted, the truth that he not just transmitted, the truth that he lived and he brought. And he changed, as we hear in the very hymn of our church, and illumined the disciples so that they too could take this message, this good news, to the world. The way that we speak about our church, about our faith, the language that we use and the way that we use it has changed, but the message of the truth has not changed, even to this day. There is a mistaken conception in the world today that our culture, that the culture that we're in needs to influence the church, that the culture should influence what we do, that the culture should influence what we say, that the culture should influence how we act. This is wrong. This is a wrong, incorrect belief. The church, the body of Christ, we should change the world around us. The church exists in society, the body of Christ, to change the world around us, the incorrect teaching, the incorrect beliefs around us. We need to influence culture. We shouldn't be influenced by it. There are certainly good things that happen. Just as I said, the message may change, but the truth does not. We should be the light of the world. We should be the salt of the earth. It should be us who influences society and culture. The gospel speaks just about this today. A city on a hill cannot be hid. But what do? Oftentimes we hide ourselves. We extinguish the light. We are not the beacons. We are not the vessels where the light shines. These words that our Lord spoke 2,000 years ago are just as relevant today as they were when he spoke them. Historically speaking, our church, our confession of faith, has not gone and undergone any type of reformation. Our church did not meet the same fate as the church of the West, mainly because our church, our faith, is not in need of reformation. Our church has maintained the deposit of faith for 2,000 years. But are we the lights that shine that truth? Are we the beacons that we hear in the hymns and in Scripture that shines this truth, this deposit of truth that men and women and children died for? When we preach, we don't preach our own words, and that's just not us as clergy, that's all of us. But when we preach, we don't preach our own words, but we preach the words of the church throughout the history, all the way back to Christ. We preach the words not only of our Lord and Savior, but of the fathers and the mothers of the church, Saints Basil and Chrysostom and John, Ephemia, who we celebrated last week, Marina, who we celebrated yesterday. Their words are our words because their words are the truth. The other thing to keep in mind is that our church, our faith in many areas of the world even today, has gone through persecution. Maybe not our church here in America, but certainly our church around the world, particularly those in recent decades and centuries of communist rule and Middle Eastern oppression, our church and our faith has endured persecution. And there are countless numbers of martyrs, so many that we can't even know, which is why we celebrate All Saints' Day, who stood, who shined the light of the true faith, and who are willing to die for it. And if we don't today be the light to influence culture and society, we at the very least dishonor their memory. And that is why we commemorate them, because of what they handed down to us today. We are told that we are the city on the hill. We are told that we are the light of the world. And our Lord also had this to say in this gospel passage: "Think not that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Nothing will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. And whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but he who does them and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. These are strong words from our Lord. Strong words from our Lord to the leaders of the church. Strong words of our Lord to all of us today. He didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Nothing will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. And whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Living a life in Christ, living a Christian life, is not easy. It's challenging. It's difficult at times. We have been taught by the gospel that the world around us will hate us, for witnessing the truth, for being the light of the truth. And we are seeing this certainly today. And our Lord tells us what? He tells us that the world needs us to be the light today. That the world, that He needs all of us to be the light today and to be that city on a hill. So while others may change with the times, our faith, and we should not. We should stand as beacons in the night. We should stand as lights, and we should preach and teach as lights what we believe and what we preach about the truth that Jesus Christ Himself came and revealed and expressed and brought to the world. We sing this beautiful hymn at the end of liturgy. We have seen the light, the true light. Ido mento fos to alithinon. We have seen the light, the true light. And we have found the true faith. And we preach it because to do any less than preach the true faith would be to dishonor all those who came before us, who witnessed, who protected, who defended, and who even died for the true faith. St. John Chrysostom said about this theme of light, and I will end with this. He said, Christ left us on earth in order that we should become like beacons of light and teachers unto others, that we might act like leaven and move among people like angels, be adults to children and spiritual person to animal persons in order to win them over, and that we may be like seed and bear abundant fruits. There would be no need for sermons if our lives were shining. There would be no need for words if we bore witness with our deeds. There would be no unbelievers if we were true Christians. Be the light. Let us be the city that is on a hill, not hidden, but shining the light of the true faith of Jesus Christ. Amen.